Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. You know, one thing I have come to learn in my life is sometimes in order to realize what's possible for you moving forward, you have to be able to look at examples from the past to see what others have been able to do and be able to learn from them. Our next guest has been able to do that in her own life, and now thanks to her book, Against the Tide, we all are able to do the same thing. We're excited to welcome to our program today Julie J.H. Sullivan. We're going to talk to Julie not only about her journey of writing the book, Against the Tide, the turbulent times of a black entrepreneur, but what it was like for her to look at the example of someone like Hansford C. Baton and what we can all learn from him, as well as, of course, what's possible for us today. If you're just now hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Julie, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. It's so good to be on the program today. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. I was telling you before we went on here, I really enjoyed the book, and I think there's so many great things that our audience will be able to get from it, both on the radio dial as well as online, and we'll get into that. I want to first of all talk about what this journey was like for you, Julie, because as I said, you know, a lot of times we learn so many great lessons by looking backwards and being able to learn from others. What was it like for you to look at what Baton was able to do and to think about your own life?
Right. Well, first of all, Against the Tide is a true story about my great-grandfather, who was an African-American captain of a steamboat, and he lived during that very disturbing time in history, the post-Reconstruction period, which led up to the introduction of Jim Crow laws. A lot of the stories that I learned growing up were learned at the kitchen table in my own household. My father, Dr. Leon Sullivan, was the author of the Sullivan Principles, which was a code of conduct for South Africa during apartheid. And my mother, who is the granddaughter of Captain Baton, was a fervent kind of supporter of civil rights. And so we learned from a very early age the importance of service. I think Captain Baton's story connected with our own because we were taught during the civil rights era in the 70s and late 60s that we had to stand up for ourselves. We had to practice self-help, and we had to be in service to others. And I think that's exactly what Captain Baton did. But as you touched upon, the problems and the challenges during that period were much greater than what arguably we face today. He faced, a period of lynchings, arson. He built, he actually bought a huge two-story colonial mansion that looked over the Rappahannock River. He faced fear every day. So I think that what we can learn from him in answer to your question is kind of a sense of how do you in your own lives generate a sense of fearlessness when you are combated by this type of, these types of threats.
Exactly. You know, one connection that I felt with the book that I was not expecting, Julie, was I grew up in Mississippi. I'm on the radio dial here in Mississippi. And my grandmother, who unfortunately passed away 2 years ago at the age of 90,
she told me
growing up, though, something that I have always received. And it's something that I never doubted. When I was growing up in Brandon, Mississippi, she told me I could do anything. I could be anything. And I asked her anything, and she said, yes, if you work hard and believe in yourself, you can do anything. And that seemed to be what Baton was able to embody, even at a time when that kind of thought process was not popular. One of the things that you say in the book, and I actually want to read this, it's on page 86 for those who have the print edition of the book. When it talks about what he was able to accomplish, I think that is the amazing thing. This is what you wrote. As his career flourished, both Captain Hansford Baton and his Owen Dillard were mentioned favorably in the mainstream sections of the conservative-leaning Virginia Citizen. Without any apparent irony of a black man serving both black and white clientele for an essential service in the Jim Crow South, it was as if Baton had acquired either honorary white status in the small town or the respect that both black and white townspeople had for him was such that they were willing to put aside issues of race and privilege. You go on to write this at the bottom of 86, Hansford may have just shrugged off any naysayers of both races. It was his life, after all. He may have reasoned wisely so that the demand for reliable mail service was simply of the law of supply and demand, not color. And I thought about my grandmother with that, because
yes. She's
never said that because you are black, you won't be able to do this or you may be limited by this. What was it like for you to see that he was a person who was respected for the service he was able to bring and because of who he was?
I think that's an excellent question, and I'm so pleased that you actually read that section, because I think actually it was a two-edged sword in those days. He wanted to be a champion for blacks in the community, so when he became wealthy and he owned this huge steamboat that was, the day that it was launched, 2,000 people came out to the wharf, both blacks and whites, but he wanted to be in service to both blacks and whites. So what he ran up against was that he wanted to make sure that his steamboat service was accessible to both races. And it kind of coincided with the period of Jim Crow laws. I mean, Plessy versus Ferguson ruling was passed down in May of 1896. I mean, in that same year, his first vote was launched. But, you know, he actually would have been able to, as you said and as your grandmother taught, to kind of not worry about the obstacles around you and just go forward, put one foot in front of the other, which he did with the building of each boat when each previous one burned. But what happened is the roadblock that occurred both with your grandmother and people like Hansford Beighton were the legal laws that prevented this the mixing of the races. Segregation meant all of a sudden that public facilities were not accessible to both blacks and whites. And as a steamboat captain, where he once enjoyed excursion boats where his clientele were both black and white on the boats, suddenly in the early 1900s, he was forced to segregate his clientele. And I think those are those legal impediments to enabling blacks to progress and gain equal access to education is something that became kind of an endemic obstacle to blacks through the ages, and I'd say arguably kind of affects some of the political issues that you see played out today.
Yeah, and I think, again, that's what makes a book like this so timely. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're already having a great conversation today with Julie J.H. Sullivan. We're speaking with her not only about what it was like for her to look back into her own family life, but now, of course, to be able to share this with the world in the book Against the Tide, The Turbulent Times of a Black Entrepreneur. If you're just hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can be able to get it for yourself. Julie, I have to ask you this question. I mean, a lot of us, I think, do look, you know, into our families and get to know things about ourselves. What made you say, though, that you wanted to share what you had learned with the world?
Well, that's again, I feel like we're on the same wavelength. I think that there were two things. One, I think that it is really important for both blacks and whites to understand that there's a history behind all of the issues about inequality that have occurred today. In my life, and it sounds like your grandmother taught you the same thing, that I wanted to make sure that people knew that self-help is a very important part of progressing. You have to put aside, you know, and I think this is what Hansford Beighton taught, that, you know, a lot of the racial hostility that exists. In his time, it was quite in your face. I mean, for example, in 1889 to 1903, the newspapers reported that two blacks were lynched a week. You know, when he built this amazing home, you know, this two-story antebellum-style colonial home on 169 acres, it could have been burned at any time. He did it. Why did he do it? He wanted to do it. He felt like he was equal to anyone else. He wanted to give the same opportunities and privileges to families to his family that others had. But at the same time, you know, these lynchings, there was a lynching of a 9-year-old boy in 1904. The next year in Virginia, the next year he bought a 22,000, 85-foot-long first-class steamer that, you know, both the African-American community and white community came out to praise him for. But then a few years later, it was burned. Then he built another boat. So back to your question, I mean, it's a matter of showing young people through stories like Against the Tide that it doesn't behoove us to quit. You have to keep building. You have to keep going. irrespective of what happens, you have to demonstrate that you're bigger than that. I mean, even though the boat burned, he would build again. There were five boats altogether, and at the end of the day, when he was in this horrible conflict with the Postmaster General, because of this prejudiced Postmaster General, he was not able to actually retain one of his mail boat service. During that time, both whites and blacks, I mean, at this time, a very prominent white oysterman, planter, came out of the blue to voice his support for Hansford Baton. I think dignity, you know, character, perseverance, those are the values that we have to make sure that we pass down. And it's only passed down through stories like Against the Tide. I was lucky, by the way, because these stories were passed down through the oral tradition, which is very much a part of Black American history, but also the entire story of his life was played out in the pages of the Virginia Citizen.
Right. But, and another thing that I, of course, and I guess to add on to what you just said, Julie, I think the thing is a lot of us would not have known about Baton otherwise. I think that's the other thing for sure. You know, there is a great example you give in the book, and I think it goes to something else that we talk about a lot on this program and that I hope our audience will appreciate, is to identify what you want to do, but also identify your motivation. You have the one example of him being very unselfish and the rescuing of the 8-year-old Mary,
jumping in
and saving her. And I thought to myself, even though he was recognized for that and there was talk of him being, you know, giving a medal, I think, even though I don't think he ever got the medal, he didn't do it because of what he might get. And I think that says a lot about why we do what we do and what motivates us in life and what it says about who we are. I mean, do examples like that for you, Julie, really help you to have a sense of pride of not only where you came from, but also, of course, you know, the kind of ideals that should drive you in your own life?
Absolutely. And I think, quite frankly, that there are thousands of stories like Captain Baton. His is unusual because his life was documented in the pages of the Virginia Citizen. But I think that these stories are what enable people to keep their identity. I mean, I was in New York and visiting my son, and he said, "Mom, it's amazing to actually read through the pages and see that actually I'm connected to this person who fought so hard, who had perseverance, who was determined not to quit." I think he's able to walk a little taller, stand a little taller. And I think that's something that's missing from the discourse. In fact, Cyrus, what I'd like to see is books like Against the Tide put in the schools, put in the hands of both black and white children, so
right.
that they understand that there was a life after slavery and before slavery. I mean, Hansford had the good fortune to have been born in a steamboat town, which meant that he had access to being a waterman. He was an oysterman before he became a steamboat captain. He had access to education because in that small steamboat town, blacks weren't oppressed to the degree that they were, and I really want to make sure that everybody understands this point. In the Deep South, you have very limited options, and that's why I put that piece in about the young man, same age as Hansford, Sidney Randolph, who lived just 100 miles inland, and he was lynched for a crime that he did not commit. It's important for people to realize that part of Hansford Baton's achievements were a factor of where he lived, his geography.
Right.
It was all kind of almost in a sense, kind of a luck of a lottery almost.
Yeah.
But again, back to your question, yes, I mean, these are the stories that kids need to understand. And once they understand that they come from such great, resilient stock, then in a sense we have to, no pun intended, take stock in what we've learned in order to go forward. As they say, the past is a prologue to the future.
For sure, for sure. And I think, too, you know, I think regardless, again, of who we are and where we live and what color we are, I think these are all great lessons for us all to realize. You know, another great thing that you chronicle in the book is that Baton realized that you can't just focus on a particular race. You can't just focus on people who look like you because the world is bigger than you. And I think that is the thing that made him successful as well. And I think, you know, what a great reminder for us today. It's so easy, I think, in the world we live in, even in 2016, to surround ourselves with people who think like us and look like us. But, you know, but also realizing how limiting that is. Do you think that also is what gave him a larger view of the world, Julie, because he did not confine himself to that?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, when he saved the life of that little girl, it was a little white girl. And I didn't put this in the book, but I could imagine that he really put himself at risk in jumping into the river to save her. She was the daughter of a very notable planter. He did it. Why did he do it? He did it because he felt that it was the honorable thing to do. I think that today, you know, these same issues play out. I mean, I'm a Sunday school teacher, for example, and one of my little kids who happened to be a little white girl, you know, said, you know, I asked the kids, did you recognize Martin Luther King Day? And she said, yes, and I understand a very mean white person was responsible for the death of Martin Luther King. Well, how did that happen? It happened because, you know, as a teacher, I'm trying to actually spread education to all. My Aunt Virginia, once, who was actually the daughter of Virgie in the book, she once said, quite interestingly, she said, when you face prejudice, what you need to do is educate people. Don't get mad, educate. And I think that is all a part of this unique history and family legacy.
Yeah. So let's widen out the conversation a little bit, Julie. I asked you earlier what it was like for you, of course, to be able to realize the stock that you came from. What has it been like for you to hear from people like myself who don't know you about how the book has resonated with them?
Well, you know, it really comes as a surprise because, I mean, this, and I'm so flattered. I'm flattered by it, but it shows that this is the time for these stories to actually have, you know, a wider audience. I mean, I knew the stories of prejudice from my parents. I mean, my father once told of being in South Africa during apartheid and it being strip searched because, you know, they were concerned that he was a threat to the community. It was a horrible, humiliating moment. And my mother, who was the granddaughter of Hanser Baton, would talk about how he was different than men today. And we'd say, why? How, Mom? How was he different? And she would tell Hope Howard and I, he was fearless. He was fearless. And I think that is the takeaway from this story, and that's why I encourage everybody to read it, because you have to be fearless in the world today. And especially, Cyrus, I mean, during post-Reconstruction, when you had lynchings every day, I mean, you could be lynched for just walking on the wrong side of the street. There was arson of boats, which my great-grandfather faced, but also homes were burned and torched. So we don't face that same quagmire that existed then. But nonetheless, we face a different kind of quagmire, and it's the lessons that are taught through stories like Hanser Baton that can resonate among us all. I encourage people to read it, not solely for my detailed descriptions of the Klan and the extent that the Klan promoted this fear and intimidation throughout the South, but more importantly, how one man ignored those threats and stood strong, stood on his own two feet to build a better future for himself, his wife, and his children.
Right. And I think, again, you know, great reminders for all of us, again, in 2016 and beyond about what we can do. Because if Hanser Baton was able to do it in the time that he lived in over 100 years ago, when things, you know, definitely were a lot more intense and difficult,
yes,
it definitely shows what we can all do today. Again, everyone, I've been speaking with Julie J.H. Sullivan today. We've been speaking with her not only about her own journey in life, but what led her to write the book, Against the Tide, The Turbulent Times of a Black Entrepreneur. And what a fascinating book. Julie, it is. I can't wait to share my thoughts on Amazon.com. The book is available, of course, there. And we also encourage our audience to go to strategicmediabooks.com. There you can also find other great books that Strategic Media has been able to publish. And Julie, you and I were talking before the segment began today, and I actually liked it while we were speaking today. You actually have a Facebook fan page. You're going to keep people posted. J.H. Sullivan is where they can go on Facebook to be able to stay connected.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Julie, what has that been like for you, too? I mean, the online world, I think, kind of connects us all these days. What has it been like for you to use that online platform to keep people updated?
Well, that's a very good question. And first, I have to say, Cyrus, I'm so excited and grateful and honored that you invited me on your show. I'm actually not a big – I actually was told I had to create a Facebook page. I have a great Facebook page now. And I think it is really important because I like to talk on my Facebook about other authors, about other books. For example, in my book, I quote from the Equal Justice Initiative that was founded by Bryan Stevenson, who also wrote a book called Just Mercy, and he gratefully allowed me to quote in that in his book. I mean, I talk about other books that I admire written by authors like Toni Morrison and Alice Walker, but also others by authors like Gloria Steinem. I think it's an important for us to understand that as a form, as Americans, both black and white, that we access the most up-to-date kind of cross-cutting ideas and thoughts to address the problems of today through going in depth in searching for answers in the past. And that's what I'd like to see emerge in my Facebook. And one last thing I'd like to just mention, I wish I could meet your grandmother. Is she still alive?
No, she actually passed away in 2014.
I would have very much liked to have interviewed her.
yeah. What a beautiful spirit she was too, Julie. Definitely helped me to become the man that I am today for sure. And, you know, just a gracious individual. But also, you know, like we were talking about, definitely showed me the importance of appreciating our own personal responsibility in life and our own personal power. And I think that's what I've tried to be able to share as well. Julie, really enjoyed this conversation with you today. And I think Captain Baton would be
proud of you.
well, thank you for that. That is an honor
I'm
to know in itself. Again, everyone, Against the Tide, The Turbulent Times of a Black Entrepreneur is the title of the book. Again, J.H. Sullivan is where you all will look on Amazon for the book. You can also stay connected with Julie on Facebook, as I mentioned, at J.H. Sullivan. We've tagged her to the link to this conversation to make it easy for you all to be able to find her. And Julie, looking forward to our next conversation together.
Likewise, I'm working on my second book, so look out for it. And Cyrus, all the best to you. You are the exemplary type of individual that we all should look toward as a model. So thank you. Keep up the great work.
Well, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate that. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. Definitely want to thank our good friend Ron Shepsick for introducing me to Julie's book, Against the Tide. Great book. Another great one for Strategic Media Books, and glad to be able to introduce it to our audience. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.